Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. It's April 1st, so that means that we are officially in NFL Draft Month. And joining us now to break it all down is our friend TD, Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, we knew that free agency was going to potentially change the Titans' draft plans. You know, you trade for L'Jarius Sneed, you pick up Calvin Ridley in free agency. Suddenly, our perception of this team has changed a little bit. But what hasn't changed is a left tackle situation. Still don't have a left tackle. So does it feel like today, on April 1st, a little bit less than a month removed from the NFL draft, it's left tackle or nothing in the first round?
No, it shouldn't be left tackle or nothing. You never go into a draft pinpointing a singular position as that one that you want in the round. That's how you end up with picks that you reach and they don't fulfill the potential. And you put a player, a prospect, in a bad situation himself. So you should go best player available, see how it matches need. And obviously, the quarterback situation changes that a bit, but position players otherwise, that's how you approach it.
I think that that absolutely should be the approach. It's a tough conundrum if you're sitting there with Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt, but that's a good problem that the Titans could potentially be faced with. As far as the left tackles are concerned, I feel like we've been talking a lot about, oh, if Joe Alt's gone, then there's an Olafashnew or a J.C. Latham or other tackles in this draft that could be available at 7. But in the film that you've broken down and everything that you've watched, the evaluation that you've done of these left tackles, are they all created equally?
No, I mean, you have some that are more fundamentally sound than others. You know, you look at Joe Alt, his footwork is tremendous. He doesn't exactly finish run blocking, and he bends at the waist a little bit more, but that waist bend, that's to be expected at it from a guy that's 6'9". But then you turn around and you look at a guy like Patrick Paul, who you could get later, and he has tremendous physical abilities. I watched him flip his feet and reset himself after getting beat on an inside move, and then, you know, just washing the guy out, down away from the would-be quarterback. I watched that in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl. So, I mean, there's every prospect is going to have his warts. Some are going to have more polish than others, and I think that's the advantage of a Joe Alt over some of the other guys.
Now, TD, sticking with the tackle theme, and you're right, I don't think they can go in thinking, okay, it's just this position or this player, and if that player's not there, then, okay, now we got to, you know, reevaluate or readjust and sort of go from there. Where do you think J.C. Latham is? Because I think with his size, you know, his athletic ability, he may have the higher upside than a lot of these other tackles out there. So where do you think they have him on their board? Because they're going to have a contingency plan here. If indeed someone moves up and draft Joe Alt, they got to have another tackle in mind or tackles in mind.
Yeah, I think J.C. Latham is a guy that they, like a few other teams, have right there with Joe Alt. And the big thing with Latham is just the penalties. If you could get that penalties, get that down, then you got something that you're cooking with. And that's where a guy like Bill Callahan will come into play so much. So you got him. It's interesting. I didn't really get too much feedback about Jordan Morgan, right? And he's a guy with short arms. They kind of don't know for sure if he's a guard or tackle. A lot of teams have talked to him about both. So you have him. There's there's different guys in here. Roger Rosengarten is a guy from Washington that doesn't really get too much, publicity as far as the media is concerned. But I know he's one that a lot of teams like. And there's guys down the line, too, like the school just totally slipped my mind. I can't think of the name of the school, but the guy, his name is hard to pronounce, but he's like 6'5", 323 pounds, and he's one that I know a lot of teams have talked about. I just, the name, I think it is Yale. It's going to come back to me before we get off here.
Well, I hope it does. I know it will, TD. We're talking with Teron Davenport, ESPN, talking Titans. Now, Teron, we know they have other areas on this team they need to fill, whether it's the O-line, another defensive lineman. But I think the position that I'm not concerned, but just sort of, hey, what are they going to do with this? The tight end position. They have to add a veteran guy. Do you see them possibly adding a veteran guy after the draft? or as they get into camp?
Yeah, they're going to have to add a veteran guy. I think they'll look at post June 1st, see what shakes from the tree. And I think that's something they're going to look at for right tackle also, and even safety. So that's more or less how I think they're going to approach it. But you're right, they got to bring somebody else in. Chig showed promise, right? He showed some of that upside towards the end of the year. Josh Wiley is just a health thing. If he's healthy, I think he could be productive. But you want to have three, sometimes four tight ends on your roster.
Teron, I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, got swept, man. The Brewers.
We didn't have the lead in any of the games. We're behind the whole time.
It was bad.
It looks bad.
Is it anything different from last year?
Well, last year there was hope.
You know, they had a good start last year.
They did have a good start last year.
Well, I couldn't tell by the way y'all two were, like, soaking at the end of the season.
Well, that's what happens every year, you know. It's like that coach that he's jumping up and down excited because the receiver's wide open, the quarterback throws the football to him, and he drops it, right? And then the coach just takes his hat and slams it on the ground and just shakes his head. That's us, right? We're jumping
that's
up
Met
and
fans,
down in
huh?
April and May, and then – as soon as late July hits,
I'm not even sure we're going to get April.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's July and April this year.
It is July and April. Good grief. They look bad. Oh, man. Well, so let's look at where they are right now. I have been talking about this a lot, Teron. My concern is there's still a lot of holes. When D-Mace always mentions the June 1st. I know we're going to focus a lot on the draft. And that's going to be huge for this team. They need another good draft. Do you think there are other people out there that they've got their eye on after June 1st to fill a few more holes with depth pieces and other places they really need some help roster-wise?
Yeah, I think there's definitely other people they have their name on, their eye on, and looking at because – I mean, every year, you know, you see somebody shake free, and it's like, wow, I didn't even realize he was going to get cut, you know. And post-draft is really when you see a lot of that stuff happen, right? A team gets a prospect that's there that they didn't expect to be there, and all of a sudden player X becomes expendable. I think inside linebacker is a position they're going to really, really comb through and try to find that person because it's tough to have a rookie inside linebacker knowing his assignment and everyone else's and then still being able to play fast.
You did a good piece on what I know will be a big subject when the team gets going again in training camp, and that is the usage and the vision of how to use Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard together. What did you find out?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I found out, I didn't realize. I mean, we said that Tajay Spears was explosive, but he was, in terms of runs, 10 yards or more, he was 11th out of all running backs who had at least 100 carries. I never would have thought that, you know. So you got that. His explosiveness is something that I think is going to have to be exhibited. I think you look at Tony Pollard, and as Brian Callahan said, they're similar skill sets, and it's going to allow them to be much more flexible with their play calling, whereas it's not going to be, all right, we got to get this whole different package in there to work this play. It's going to be more consistent and versatile from that, less predictable as well.
So do you think you'll see them both on the field at the same time some? Or do you think ideally Spears is the guy that they'd like to see sort of take the reins there? What do you envision as far as because I think you're dead on. They're not going to give things away when one is on the field as opposed to the other. But I wonder how creative they can get with both of them on the field.
Right, and that is something that I feel they could absolutely do, and that's why in that story that I did, I pulled out one of the Whiteboard Wednesday videos where I showed Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry on the field at the same time, and they used that cheat motion to give him a head start into his route, and you have the twins on that side. So basically what happens is, you have two receivers on one side. You could have Spears in like a flex position, and you motion them out, that cheat motion, like Tyreek Hill, like they do with Tyreek Hill and Puka with the Rams. And you cause a little congestion there, and it makes it easier to get him the ball quickly and have some space to operate. I think that's something you could do with either one of those guys. And then also even just having both of them in the backfield, and you could motion one of them out into, you know, out wide over the numbers, you know, or in the slot or different things like that, and find those matchups. And that's, this is a matchup league. You know, that's what Denard Wilson said when he was talking about cornerbacks, that he wants to be able to play, you know, left, right, and nickel. And that's another reason why Snead, who we'll hear from tomorrow, is perfect for what Wilson wants to do.
Now, sticking with the running backs, Tajay Spears, are we sort of missing, or are we looking at this sort of the wrong way with Tajay Spears? Because I think, you know, when we talk about it, we talk about him in terms of this sort of outside back that can catch passes, when in actuality, he's a back that not only can run on the outside, but he does have the ability to be a power runner too. So with that being said, can the Titans, with the backs that they have, more importantly Spears, be a power running team still? Because that's what they were with Derrick Henry, but then people look at the size of Pollard and Spears and say, nah, these are not power backs. Well, Spears can't run between the tackles. You don't want him doing it 25, 30 times a game, but he does have the ability to get the tough yards in between the tackles.
Yeah, he definitely does. And I think that's something that Pollard, I mean, he runs behind his pads really well, you know, and it goes underrated, but I've seen him, you know, run through people. And Spears, he consistently makes the first person miss. But here's the thing with Spears that I like, and you really saw the difference, and no slight on Derrick Henry whatsoever. He was still the best back on the team last year, and it's not a conversation. But if you notice, when Spears ran the ball, he hit that hole a bit quicker. You know, and he was up on that defense a little bit quicker, and that helps in that power scheme, because it's like, you know, move him out the way, run by me, let's go. You know what I mean? And that's where a quick hitting back like him could really work.
And that's what you need, especially, you know, in the Titans situation last year where the offensive line wasn't good. Yeah, Derrick Henry is going to be Derrick Henry. But when you put a Tajay Spears in the backfield, it does help out the offensive lineman a little bit more, because what he does is get to the hole quickly. Mm-hmm. Yep. When he sees it, he goes in there and he turns what could be a 1 yard gain into a 3 or 4 yard gain because he's hitting the hole. And I think people are sort of missing that aspect. I think Derek got to a point where he still was a damn good runner, but he wasn't hitting the holes fast. And with the offensive line that we had last year, it just didn't make for a good recipe.
Yeah, he's reading it a lot more. That's really what it came down. He was reading it more. But, yeah, I mean, look, Spears, and he's so elusive. You know, I think that's something you have to account for, too. There's a lot of pro football focus stats out there that I saw. I don't really use them, but for those who do, there's a lot out there that shows, you know, how he is. He's a solid player. You know, like Rand Carthon said, he's – made of the right, you know, it rhymes with fit.
We're talking with Teron Davenport, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You know, TD, I always say free agency giveth and free agency taketh away. And yeah, the Titans made some great additions in free agency. But one that, frankly, I'm guilty of not talking about enough is the loss of DeNico Autry. He had 11.5 sacks last year, 8 the year before that, 9 the year before that. I mean, between he and Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, that trio, they were a force up front. And the Titans haven't replaced those 11.5 sacks they lost to DeNico Autry heading to the Houston Texans. So whether it's in the draft or throughout these next couple of rounds of free agency, who do you think would be a good solution and a good addition to that defensive line to try to help fill in what you lost in DeNico Autry?
Right. The loss of Autry really hurt them. And obviously you mentioned the numbers, but also the ability to be versatile, like flexible, multiple rather. That's the term I was looking for. And that's something where Denard Wilson was asked about being 3-4 or 4-3. You have Autry and he allows you to do both. But guess what? There's a guy by the name of Darius Robinson out of Missouri. And if you watch him now, he's one of those, I call them 50 first rounders, right? You have every year you have 50 or so guys that say he's a first rounder, but somehow they end up there in the top of the second round. And he's one of those guys. And if you watch him, I actually put a clip on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it. And it was him going against, I want to say Kentucky. And yeah, it was Kentucky. And you saw him line up in every single position that Autry has lined up in over the last 2 years, right? zero, three, five, wide, stand up, all of those alignments, and he was effective in all of them. So, and he's also somebody, there's another clip I posted of him against Georgia, and he ran down the running back from the opposite side. This guy's 285 pounds now. So, you know, you're talking about 6'5", 285, basically the exact same size as Danico Autry, has those same heavy hands too. So that's the route I would go if I were solely focused on replacing Danico Autry. Mm-hmm. But I think in order to do that, they're probably going to have to move off a 7 and come out with a couple extra picks, because you're still going to need to, whether you don't get a tackle in the first round, you want to look to get one in the second, you know, one of those two areas. If you go beyond that, then you're really looking at a project. So you got to manufacture some picks in order to be able to get a guy like Darius Robinson.
Wait, you bring up the tackles. Where do you think that drop-off happens in the draft with the elite plug-and-play? You know, you can be your left tackle right now and can be your left tackle for the next 10 to 15 years to more of a project. Where would you project that drop-off happening?
I would say mid-second round. So if you don't do it at 38, you're getting in a situation where you're going to have to, you know, get creative. I think that's really the case. I think Patrick Paul is probably like that's the cutoff point. You got Troy Faltano, who's going to be in the, you know, mid to late first. Talis Fuaga, he's probably going to go in that same round. It's interesting, the Jets want to move back, apparently. I had saw him going to them at 10, but, I mean, I think Brock Bowers, now that they signed Tyron Smith, I think he's somebody. So, yeah, I would say like that mid-second round, you know, probably around 45 to 50. So there should still be a legitimate tackle there for them at 38.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully they're able to get their guy, Teron, and try to fill these holes that they have on this team. But I do have an announcement here. Very excited to tell everybody, and I've been thinking about this for a while. Got a chance to talk with some people this week, just sort of filling things out, and so I decided after talking with a few people that even at the age of, what, I'm 50 now? I almost forgot. Even at the age of 50, I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to try out for the Cats. It's been there. It's there. Yes. It is there. I will try out for the Cats.
All right.
Absolutely.
D-Mace's
the Nashville Cats. So, had a long talk this weekend and with a few people over there, and we're going to make it. I'm going to make it happen.
The 2024 comeback tour.
Absolutely. So, you know, I thought about it. I still got it, even at the age of 50, man, I still got it. I probably can run about a 4.5, 4.6. But in arena ball, you don't need to be fast. I just need to be quick.
Set the practices around the show? Like, can they practice at like 8 a.m. or like 3:30 p.m.?
I don't know when they practice. I'm just going for the tryout. It's like, let's go. I'm a man.
You got to have this vision.
I'm sure that, you know, once I get in there, I would.
Figure something out. Yeah, just be ready to catch the kickoffs off the net, man.
I'm all about just playing receiver, man. I ain't trying to get back to
special
teams.
No return again.
Yeah. No return. Those days are gone, TD. Those days are gone, buddy. Yeah.
TD, D-Mace did mention that he cannot try out alone, that he's going to need a tryout partner. So if you got the cleats. Hey.
If you got the cleats, man, come on.
Listen, it's funny. Nick called me. I totally lost track of time. Uh-huh. I was in the middle of a stair workout. I'm sitting on the stairs at the Capitol building now. So, you know. We can see what happens.
The stairs at the Capitol building, that workout is no slouch.
Oh, I'm sure it's not.
That is no joke.
That's the hardest workout in the city of Nashville.
So, yes, there we go. That was the big announcement. So, I'm giving it a go. My body feels good.
85 back in action.
85 back again. So, we'll see what happens. Kind of go from there. So,
you got to love it.
All right, TD, you are the best. Appreciate you as always. Before you run, tell us about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't even want to talk about ESPN Bet now. I mean, I guess we could put a bet on here on you know how many touchdowns D-Mace has.
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, I'm just kind of at a loss for words with that one. But that's really dope. But hey, listen, ESPN Bet, it's ready to take you through all the huge sports moments in the spring.
got March Madness here and all that stuff, so definitely make sure you get on there. It's the exclusive sports book at ESPN, and it has it all. I'm talking offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. And as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets anytime you make for your first sports book bet. So download ESPN Bet today. It's definitely a play. Now, you have to be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For gambling problem or support, you call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. And as always, terms and conditions apply. See the app for detail.
TD, you're the best. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. D. Mace.
Yes.
What an announcement.
Yeah.
Did you ever think that you were going to make a comeback?
Hell no. I mean, no. I didn't think I would make it. I didn't even think about it. Then got a, you know, few calls, and it was like, okay, maybe I should. And I've been thinking about it for a while. But I'm like, maybe I should. So, yeah.
You still got it?
I definitely still got it, yeah. I mean, even at 50, I still got it, believe me. So
I asked him in a break last Friday. I was like, hamstrings are good. Hamstrings are great.
Oh, hamstrings are good. They're good. Hamstrings are good. Knees are good. Knees are good. So as long as these hamstrings and knees are good, I'm fine.
The hands are sticky as ever.
Oh, the hands are always sticky. You know, it's like riding a bike. You never forget.
Hands don't age.
The hands don't age. So it's not like I got small hands. I think I got measured at a 10 in the NFL. So that's pretty big for a receiver. But yeah,
we'll see your measurables at your Nashville Cats tryout.
Yeah, I just want to ride. I just told him. I said, "Listen, I'm gonna do some things, but some things I'm just, you know, listen. I'm like Marvin Harrison Jr. Y'all saw the tape. Y'all saw the tape of 15 years. You know, hey, listen, y'all know what I can do. It's not like y'all don't know what I can do. So, and I gave him some tape of me working out. So, you know, we ready.
That's
to
all
go.
They need.
That's all they need.
D. Mace making his Nashville Cats debut. All right.
Bam. There we go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Bring it on. Old school.
Let's go.
We're going to get your reaction to D. Mace's return trying out for the Nashville Cats. Just a few weeks away from first game for the Nashville Cats. Also, Willie had a thought this morning. We've got Iowa and LSU, which I am calling it now. It's going to be the most watched women's college basketball game of all time, if not most watched women's basketball game of all time. But Willie had a thought on the coverage of this game, and we'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.